Hello everyone, my name is Robin Harrison. I'm Global Content Director at GGB's parent company, World Gaming. And I'm here today with Jonathan Gruber of Loser Ball to give people an idea of what this product is. Now, before that, a word from our sponsor. Today's GGB podcast is sponsored by Coin. Built for how guests move, Coin keeps payments in the background so the experience stays front and centre. And you can learn more at coinpayments.com. That's K-O-I-N payments.com. Now, Jonathan, it's great to have you here today.
Thanks, Robin, for having me. Great to follow up from Barcelona.
Yeah, of course. So we met at ICE this January. And you were one of the guests that we had in the content studio on site. Really, I was really intrigued by the concept of Loser Ball. You know, essentially a fantasy sports game that promises, I think it says on your website, to make losing as cool as winning. So talk us through that concept.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a lot more losing in the world than there is winning.
Of course.
And you know, why not take advantage of that? But really, to you know, fantasy sports and sports betting, it's very, very serious, and people are always looking for the slight edge. I'm you know, a nanosecond faster, and I just found, you know, even from a long time ago, that it was a little too complicated for me, a little too serious, and so we decided to create a game that embraces when it all goes wrong on the field. It's still a, you know, a serious venture. We're moving ahead with it. But, you know, really what we're selling is, in some ways, a feeling. It's a feeling of joy when there's disaster. It's a little counterintuitive. It's a little subversive. But we love it. And we think there's something there. And what we've built so far and where we intend to go, we're really excited about it.
So talk us through the mechanics of the game. You know, how do you, well, essentially, how do you create joy from the jaws of defeat, really?
How do you win at losing?
Yeah, exactly.
So we have, this will be, so far we focused on American football. But we plan to expand to other sports. So in the fall, actually, we're going to do a test, hopefully, for the Canadian Football League season starting in June, because as everyone knows, Canada is for losers, and so we're gonna prove that hopefully. but the idea as we move ahead past the test really is American football. We will be in our fourth season. We've learned a lot in our first three seasons. So this latest iteration will essentially be eight categories of futility, whether it's players, turnovers, least amount of yards, and on the team side, it'll be most points given up, most penalties, most yardage given up, and you'll have eight choices within each of these eight categories. So essentially a combination of 64 different ways of doing it. And there's other ways you can double down if one of your things. So everyone can take a look at it once we launch. But and then we'll have a free to play game, and we'll also have a real money gaming version. And then what's, you know, for us, what's just as important as the game is the community that we're building. People that can have fun while they're speaking in opposites, basically, sort of like, the lack of chemistry in the locker room, or my team collapsed when they scored all those points. They've got the home field disadvantage this week. It's just fun to, you know, to think of different ways of speaking these old time sports cliches in a different way. So you'll be able to place those, you know, it's essentially like a parlay, you know, where eight different choices, eight different categories, and then you can win weekly contests. So there's cash and prizes for both the free-to-play and the real money gaming side. And we're having season-long contests. So the season-long contest for the free-to-play game, for instance, is a trip to the worst NFL city. We've given away a trip to Nashville. We've given away a trip to Las Vegas. So we think that's kind of on our brand. And we're just really enjoying it. So that's a little bit about how we're playing. Oh, so sorry, one last thing. So with the community aspect, within, you'll have your picks, and your picks will be part of what we call the big loser board. And the more you climb up the loser board with your negative point totals, the more you've got a chance to win those prizes. Those same picks you can then kind of carve off into a private group with your friends or colleagues or family. And within that, you'll have chat functions, trash talk. So you can really have fun with it when it all goes wrong.
That's incredible. So community feels really kind of core to this whole product. But who is that target audience? Because as you say, the current fantasy sports betting, you know, kind of ethos, let's call it, of that as an entertainment product, it is very serious. You know, it's very business-like. So do you feel it's bringing in, like, new fans, or it's almost a way in for, I suppose, a more kind of a casual viewer, someone who's going to watch the game, they're quite interested in betting, but it just looks a bit opaque?
That's a good question. I think, you know, there's an appeal to both the casual fan who kind of, you know, might be intimidated by the seriousness and the sort of strategy, and you've got to know everything, and especially with, like, prediction markets, when to get in, when to get out. We are hoping that this simpler game is attractive to them. But I think generally what we've learned is that this is more of an emotional hedge for fans who are more serious with their fantasy games. And it's a sort of an emotional release for them that they can sort of play their games, play in your four or five sports fantasy leagues, but have this also, you know, on the side. And in a way, if you're the fan of a terrible, you know, football team, you know, whether American football or, you know, English Premier League football team, you win both ways. Yeah. So if your team is terrible, and you play them in loser ball, and they are terrible, then you will win. And if your team is not terrible, is not terrible, sometimes I have to think about how I'm speaking, if they're not terrible at loser ball, then you've got a good team in reality. So it's, you win both ways at loser ball.
Yeah, I suppose it's a different part of the emotional spectrum. You know, it's still playing an emotion in a way that I suppose sports betting is just designed to do. It's funny because it does feel like a very British product. We like to be as gloomy as possible with our sports teams.
I love that you say that. My wife tells me I shouldn't say this, but often when I pitch it to people and they get it, I say it's really like the Monty Python of fantasy sports. And for people who understand that, they're like, oh, I get it, I'm in, I understand it. For people that don't know what that means, I'll say it's like the opposite day of it. But it does have a very, you know, British contrarian approach to things that I'm from New York, so I think we also have that, you know, contrarian nature in us, and so it works well.
And I'm quite interested in how you came to launch Loser Ball, because obviously your background is, it's not the same kind of linear path that other, you know, kind of executives moving into the industry have come down. You know, you started out as a documentary filmmaker. So talk us through that. How did you move from, you know, making these documentaries to launching the Monty Python of sports betting?
Well, part of what I'm doing, whether it's making documentary films, which I still do, or working on Loser Ball, is that we're telling a story, and I hope a compelling story. And so while this may be my first, you know, technology startup, I've made 9 films, so this is really my 10th startup. You know, the idea and then how you execute it, budgeting, schedule, completion, distribution, it's very similar. In terms of how I came up with it, my friend and I, again, just we felt that sports fantasy was too complicated for us. It's decades ago. We decided, let's pick an American football team to lose, and whoever loses more games wins. there was, it was just fantastic. You know, my buddy Dave, who I played with, he just sucks at losing. So he would pick teams that went to the playoffs. He was horrible at it. And it was just so much fun. So for 3 years in a row, I picked really what they're like a loser ball dynasty, which is the Cleveland Browns.
Strong choice.
And if anyone knows their history in the U.S., I mean, they're spectacular. They have leadership. They have what it takes on the field. They know what they're doing. You know, it's, it starts from ownership and it works its way down. So I was fortunate to pick them for, it's like, that's part of it, right? Yeah. Like you're laughing, you're enjoying yourself. That's really what this should be.
Yeah.
You know, we should have fun with it. And so it was the years, you know, if people know Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, he was the quarterback. They had Hugh Jackson. They just were, they just had what it took. And I, and the third year I picked them, they had a perfect season. They lost every single game. I went to Cleveland. They had a parade, this sort of, you know, embracing how horrible they were. It was negative 5 degrees Fahrenheit. They did a zero around the stadium. And I first of all, I had to retire from our game. I said, I cannot top this. So we're done. But then I thought, well, maybe there's something in fantasy,
yeah,
you know, that we could do. We could bring this joy, you know, this delight in disaster to the masses. And so I started looking at algorithms, you know, looking at these negative statistics. Mm-hmm. And as I moved forward, just trying to think about how to do it, COVID hit. So that kind of put a shelved it for a little bit. But then I picked it up again and went to Las Vegas. There's a group called the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association, FSGA. They have a conference in Las Vegas every year. I went, I sort of just kicking the tires, you know, not being that familiar with the industry. Is this unique? You know, could this work? You know, people were interested because there is a, people who play this, I think, are pretty cynical. And so this really taps into that. It taps into frustrations. But a lot of people, they try to win, and if you come in last place, you'll have some sort of a bogey prize. Like, you'll have to sit in some restaurant for 24 hours or do something outrageous, but you're still trying to win. You know, here, it's different. Here, like, psychologically, it's different. When you're rooting for the team to stink or the players to stink, and it really happens, it's incredible, you know, just like if your team scored a touchdown, but you're rooting for the other thing. That the difference is that if you lose at losing, psychologically, it's not as bad. It's just like, okay, this was kind of ridiculous to begin with, so I'm okay with it. So we're a little bit of like a kinder, gentler sort of approach. So anyway, we went to a second conference. So, you know, was encouraged. Went to a second conference in Cleveland, of all places, in the summer of 23.
Your spiritual home.
And they have a pitch conference. What's that?
Spiritual home.
Exactly. It was karma. So they have a pitch competition there. And I said, I've got to do it. And we won the pitch competition. So that gave us a, you know, validation. It gave us a little bit of notoriety. And then we launched a beta version of the game. We did a second season of the beta. We learned from that. So I'm kind of jumping, you know, I'm compressing the time frame, but here we are coming up to our fourth season. And I think in every way, we've been validated. You know, we've had people on in very, very large gaming spaces on the C-suite level just saying, you know, this isn't for us because we're all about winners. And it's like, yes, exactly. That's why in terms of competition, like we're in a white space. Yeah. People are not doing this and they're not going to pivot. The FanDuels and DraftKings are not necessarily going to be like, oh, we gotta all of a sudden take loser ball bets. That's not their voice. That's not their brand. I mean, we're not looking to disrupt the industry as much as sort of, or supplant people's, you know, regular playing. We're just looking to do it a little bit differently. And we're not trying to corner the market. I mean, there's so many groups and or companies that are have this share of this massive market. And so if we can take a little piece, you know, I think we'll be happy and we'll, as they say in America, we'll bring joy to Mudville.
Fantastic. And now, a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the GGB podcast is brought to you by Coin. When payments fade into the background, better experiences come forward. Coin helps operators support how guests naturally move through moments without interruptions or added friction. Secure, flexible, and designed to evolve, Coin integrates into existing environments while helping operators deliver more connected guest experiences. Learn more at coinpayments.com. That's K-O-I-N payments.com. Now, I'm keen to dig into the life of a startup in the industry today, because obviously when we met, that was through a Loserball, and you in particular being involved in whether that was the pitch competition, the accelerator content, and then obviously the reverse pitch that we did in the TV studio on site. So 4 years into the journey, I mean, what stage is Loserball at in terms of looking for fundraising, looking to bring in new investors? Like, where are things in that regard?
Sure. So we're in a great place right now, and we're really excited and primed to pivot from, really to add a real money gaming option. We've been doing free to play for three seasons, and with that there are costs. There are marketing costs. There are legal and compliance costs. There are development costs. Although I have to say, the development costs have come down tremendously with AI solutions. It's what we've been able to build in such a short period of time, even compared to just a year or two ago, is remarkable. So we are very excited to now host. Last year, the first 2 years, we hosted it on our platform. Last year, we had a third-party provider, and now we're going to go back to hosting it on our own website. It's a much more robust platform, what we're doing. We're integrating the KYC and the geolocation, and, you know, making sure that we get this right. And that's why we're doing that test for the Canadian Football League in June. So we're moving forward very quickly, but we do need some runway. So, you know, anyone that hears this that's interested in what we're doing, we're happy to share our journey. We also encourage people to go to loserball.com and subscribe, so you can learn about it. You can hear about what we're doing. If you're in the United States and you're in one of those states that can play sports fantasy and games of skill, you know, look to possibly June, if not for September, for the NFL kickoff. That's just sort of that's the biggest game in town in the United States. And knowing American football, that's what we've focused on. But, you know, we can apply Loserball to global sports very, very easily. Global soccer, cricket, rugby. There's no shortage of losers in the world in sports that we can make this work for.
And how are you finding that fundraising process? Like you mentioned earlier, to a lot of like the executives you speak to, it feels like a novelty. But do you feel that that kind of translates into kind of investor interest?
I think, like with anything, you have people who on the investor side who appreciate the vision of what we're doing, who appreciate our brand and our voice and sort of the humor, you know, which is people may or may not know the brand The Onion, which is a satirical newspaper and website. That's kind of along the lines, you know, of where we are, although we're doing it for real. But The Onion is, you know, they've got their foot in reality. It's satirical. Yeah. So I think that some investors want to get in early. We have had we have five angel investors so far, and some want to wait. You know, they want to see, you know, can you generate revenue? Is there interest? One of the things that we found in our surveys of our players, we have 1,200 subscribers, and that's with hardly any marketing. So that's a great start. Obviously, it's a small number, but it's not nothing.
But out of nothing, that's a good start.
Yeah, we think so. And thank you. And our surveys have found that 60% of people who are playing the free-to-play game would be willing to play real money gaming. So put in, you know, 10 or 20 or 50 or whatever they want to do every week or for the season long. The other thing that was fascinating in the survey was that 0% said they would not recommend Loser Ball. 100% of the survey respondents said that they would either maybe or definitely tell their friends about Loser Ball. So I think that's really telling. Obviously, it's self-selecting. It's, you know, a smaller group, you know, of the 1,200. But that's really positive. And I think that, you know, your reaction earlier when we were pitching at ICE, you look around the room, you see people smiling and laughing and appreciating what we're doing. And that's just as important. And I think as a documentary filmmaker, I have some technical skills, but I am more of a, you know, more on the artistic side. That's what is most important to me, is that we can share this idea of doing it a little bit differently, and that's okay. That's okay. Along with all the other things that exist out there. When we were at Barcelona, you know, all the other pitch people, what they're doing is great, you know, and they have a way of doing it better or faster or more efficiently. And but we are, you know, we're just very different. I think it's an unexpected approach. It's not that it's like mind blowing, right? It's like a pretty simple idea. So I was surprised that it hasn't been done the way that we're doing it. We've learned a lot, but the basic premise is still the same.
And you mentioned there again being a documentary filmmaker, and I'm curious to see how much of that translates over, because I imagine whether it's pitching, you know, kind of investors for, you know, a new production you're working on, kind of speaking to studios. Do you feel there's a lot of transferable skills?
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's just like with Loser Ball, it's the same thing as a film. You've got 800 stages to get through. Mm. And there's a lot of similarities. There's the idea comes to you, and then, okay, let's try out the idea on people. And part of it also is it's a collaboration where, you know, this isn't my idea completely. People have given me ideas. I've seen other ideas, and the ability to sort of work with other people and share how are you going to get this out into the world. That's just sort of even in the conception idea stage of things. Then to your point, you have to go to investors. You have to say, for a film, it's more like, this is important. Yes. This is an important story. So people are investing more emotionally. We're not promising in the documentary world they're going to make money on it, but they will see what they put in come out on the other side in a story that impacts people. And that emotional investment is just as valuable as an investment where you're going to get a, you know, an return on your investment, like financially. Yeah. But then there's the process of doing it. There's the process of making the film, coming up with a storyboard or a script or an idea. What's the beginning? What's the middle? What's the end? And then being open to changing it in the middle. With a documentary, it's sort of like live television all the time. You have these sort of bubbles, mm-hmm. and then in the edit or in the shoot, things come together. Sometimes the way you thought, sometimes the way you don't. I mean, I find that's more satisfying to know exactly what you're... This is not the scientific method where we're trying to, you know, over here, like, I want to get here, yeah. and I'm going to do it this way. I don't quite know, you know, how we're going to do it. And there's a joy in that discovery process. So there is a... there's something similar, something that I learned tremendously valuable. Our first two seasons, we had a lot of statistics for American football, which were just wacky.
Right.
That rarely happened. They're like a blocked punt. You know, that was worth a tremendous amount of negative points. Getting a touchdown off of a kickoff or a punt return. And that could really throw... I thought that was great because it was chaotic and who knows what's going to happen. And you could have teams win traditionally, score more points, but also win at Loser Ball because they had some crazy play. They threw a pick six so it wasn't that the team that won traditionally always lost at Loser Ball. So that was kind of cool, yeah. I thought. But But it turned out that a lot of people who play fantasy sports really spend a lot of time strategizing, and those sort of random, wacky, high-scoring plays for loser ball were frustrating to them because they were like, "I can't figure it out, and I'm not into it." So, I spoke to some friends who were, who play sports fantasy, and we pivoted, for the third season, and what we're doing for the fourth season, where you can take, if you're really into sports fantasy, you can take your research that you've done for your traditional games, and it's a slight pivot, and you can use that knowledge to help you with loser ball, and you still get the joy of it all going wrong, but you don't have to be like, I have no idea what I'm doing. So because I know that's not a good feeling. You want to sort of, who's going to give up the most points, right? That's something you can strategize. Who's going to give up the most yards? That's something you can strategize. Which players are going to have the least amount of yards? That's something you can strategize. They're not bench players who aren't going to play. It's, eight wide receivers who are like wide receiver ones, but in those eight, who's going to have the least? So you're strategizing about that. But then when you're watching the game, it's a totally different experience. Don't throw to him. Drop the ball. It's like, it's different. It's great. But you can use that same knowledge. And I think that that's more, that is more successful than the sort of random, I don't know what's going to happen. Because I think there's a thing, like, you want to feel like you know what you're doing.
No, I totally agree. I mean, there is an element of control, and that's ultimately why people are staking on that outcome, because they want to feel that element of control with what's going on. Whether that's.
Right, and if they get it wrong, they're like, oh, okay, they can sort of square that circle, of why it went wrong, as opposed to like, I had no idea there would be a safety. There's 12 all year, and that ruined my bet, and now, that's frustrating. So I got that, and we were willing to pivot. I don't have an ego here where it's like, I have a vision of loser ball, and this is how it must be. It's So I'm grateful all along the line for people who have helped us navigate. Really, we have a great team along the way as we enter our fourth season.
And then just final question, how important being in that startup space, and as you've mentioned, as we kind of like touched on, I suppose we're kind of entering an era where people are maybe a bit more risk averse in terms of the investment that they make. In that situation, how important is it to have a sense of community among the startups? Almost like this kind of group of people, all striving together. How important is that for you as a startup founder?
They've been well, as you saw at that reverse pitch, I've kept in touch with those people who are on the panel with me, and also the person we were grilling. They are really fantastic touchstones because in many ways they're a little ahead of me. When I first started 4 years ago, there were people who I was like, oh, I want to be there, and I want to have that knowledge. And it's very validating when I talk to people, and when I say what I say and what I've learned, people will support it or, tweak it a little bit. I mean, we all kind of need each other in this journey to help us as we push forward, because a lot of times you're in the dark. You don't quite know if this is going to be successful. I think making films has also helped me in that way. There's no absolutes, and so my experience in making films has helped me in many ways, but also that the people around me, the other founders, the other startups in my journey, have been spectacular. That this ecosystem of people who have ideas, who are passionate, who have a vision for what they want, and also for what their users, might want, and the successes, and the sometimes the pivots, not sometimes, always the pivots. It helps me know that I'm on the right track. we're on the right track in some capacity, and we're when we look back at where we've been, where we've come from, it's great. And now, you know, in some ways, I'm in a position that that I can share my insights with people who are just starting. I don't think of myself as having so much experience. It's been about 3+ years, but that's a significant amount of time. I know there are a lot of startups that don't make it this far and don't get investment. And we, you know, at Barcelona, we were able to talk to someone who might be willing to provide us back-end credits to power what we're building on the front end. And that's spectacular. But they saw that we had some traction, that we had some angel investors, and it's all building on itself. There are founders who have an idea but don't have that traction yet. So, you know, if I can help people, and you know, with my experience, just sharing, you know, our journey, then I'm happy to give back. And it's similar in film. You know, I've been doing it for decades, and so it's a nice, I feel like I'm in a nice position with Loser Ball, where I've made it to a certain point. I'm excited where we're going, but I can look back and recognize what we've achieved so far.
Fantastic. So, Jonathan, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been fascinating to hear about how, well, let's face it, you're winning at losing, I think is the only way to put it. Really, really, really excited to see how the test goes for the Canadian League in the summer.
Thanks, Robin. You've been great all along the way. I hope you're wearing your hat.
I have been wearing my hat out. So, everyone, thanks for tuning in to the GGB podcast, sponsored by Coin. Designed to integrate with existing operations, Coin helps operators support today's guests and tomorrow's expectation. Visit coinpayments.com to learn more. That's Coin payments.com. Everybody, thanks for listening. Jonathan, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks, everybody, for watching.